Welcome to Mobile Armor Radio, the podcast for all things mecha. Jump ship incoming.
Hello, welcome to Mobile Armor Radio, episode 59. It's another month, it's another time for us to be here. My name's Rob.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Chopper.
We got a action-filled show. Maybe.
Action. Excitement. Adventure.
Yeah, that's right. What is it? It's May now, isn't it? Jeez. Time's flying.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. We're going to have a little show here. Have a little fun. And we're on YouTube. So, pretty soon, right. No more audio podcast.
I was going to say, is this YouTube time yet?
We're all YouTube time. It's always YouTube time, but it's
you know what I mean. Only. I mean, officially
only
YouTube solo time. YouTube time.
I believe either this one or next one. June might be the final one, so it's going to be close. But if you want to listen to us any longer, please go to YouTube and find us at Mobile Armor Radio. Search. It's right there. It's easy to find. Like, share, subscribe once you're there too, please. Especially. Subscribe, because otherwise you'll never find us again. It's the way YouTube works.
Hit that bell.
I don't know if the bell does anything.
As the kids say.
Actually, it does. It shows up in the little bell, like in the top right-hand corner, that you got a notification.
It's weird about how that all works out.
Well.
Anyway.
Yeah. So we'll be back for the dropship right after this.
Dropship landing.
Welcome to the dropship. Brian loves a clacker. And we're on the dropship. This episode is sponsored, people. We have a sponsor. Can you believe
it? Yay, sponsors.
Our sponsor is John Bear Ross and his Madness of John Bear Ross Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/JohnBearRoss or search for John Bear Ross on Tribes at myminifactory.com. He does a lot of cool mechs, as you know, because I show them off all the time.
he's been great enough to give us a couple STLs every once in a while to print and show off. And
I'm also a member of his Patreon, so I get them every month. And, he's going to be one full-size 28mm mech per month and much more, this month he actually did... the small versions of his all bigger stuff. So he's got 15mm version so far, and he's going to go even smaller, nice. I think, to even Battletech scale, which is, what, 128, 1285, I think?
Something like, yeah.
Yeah, so he's pretty much he does them as knights, like for 40K, that scale, as you can see.
Oh, okay.
I will show off my guy, because look at the size of the
guy. Wow, look at that.
He's
as big as your head.
Yep, this is the, what does he call it, the Malice Parabellum. Parabellum.
Parabellum?
Parabellum? No, parabellum. As the bullet, I think, not as the arc.
At least that's how they pronounced it in The Punisher, starring Thomas Jane.
Yes. So he's cool. He took forever to print because he's huge and he weighs a ton. But and my printer sucks because I have a Mono X that's on its last leg. So.
Did you print in Mahalo, at least, in some parts?
Oh, no. He's solid as a rock.
Yeah.
There's no real parts that are, his body is two pieces, so it is hollow anyways. And it's all, like, I'll show you, like, each part is all separate. Like, this shoulder bit separate from this bit, which is separate from the back. These are all separate. So, and the arms are three parts at least. Legs are two parts. Foot. So it's all, it's good thing is it's all little pieces that you can put together. Like, I could have printed them on my small printer. But I did it on the big one because I could print more, theoretically. But my big one sucks.
Last, when he gave us that big grav tank.
Yes, the tank. That was from another Kickstarter a long time ago.
Yeah, I did not print that hollow. And you can kill a small child with that if you drop it off the building.
Yeah. Yeah, even this thing, it is hollow, but it weighs a ton still. It's a lot of resin in that thing. But, yeah.
If I ever print that tank again, it will be hollow because it took a lot of resin just for that body.
Yeah, I think even that's an old one you did a long time ago for another Kickstarter. So I think he's also improved his the way he puts things together. So it's a lot more pieces. So you don't have to do huge pieces, which is nice. Mm-hmm. You don't need the FDM printers or giant scale printers to do them. So yeah, I'm excited to do the small scale ones, though, because I think they look cool. in comparison.
Yeah. No, that is a sweet.
So yes, so join the madness of John Beer Ross.
Yes, I guess this is still the ad read, but that was also part of my dropship.
Yeah, we went a little too far.
Yeah, it's all combines into one after a while. I might also continue my dropship since I also did other things. I printed, or didn't print. I'm so used to printing. This is from Dead Zone. This is a Artificer Juggernaut from the Forge Fathers from Mantic Games. I got him at Adepticon. He's really cool. Actually, this part comes off. I didn't even glue it on because I want to paint it. But you can either have him without the chest piece, so you see the little guy inside, or with the chest piece. I like the chest piece on him. And neat thing is it just friction fits. So it works great.
And I think that one even like came with spots for like magnets if you wanted to magnetize the arm bits.
Yeah, all the arms.
Four different options or something.
Yeah, I just chose these ones because he's cool looking. But I also got my... my Spectra for the Asterians from Dead Zone.
Bless
you. Wow.
Sorry, guys.
There's two different versions. I use the gun one, but there's also a sword one. And the shield, it's got this plastic or this clear plastic. I just stuck it on there. It's not actually glued on. It'll come off if I pull on it. I don't want to. But so when I actually prime them, I'll take the thing off.
Yeah, those are two really cool minis out of the Dead Zone line.
Yeah, I didn't have those ones, and I love mechs, so. I remember originally they said Asterians will never have mechs. It's their thing. Well, guess what? They got mechs now, people. And the other thing I did was, if I could bring it up, that was for the John Bear Ross thing. For this, I did the new coal part of them from the starter set me and Pat got from Adepticon. I started putting them together for Heavy Gear Blitz, and. They are unique models. I can actually show you what a sprue looks like. They're really quite, I don't know, not the easiest. So that's all the bits you have to put together. It looks like a pain. It looks like as bad as Robotech Tactics.
Robotech back in the day.
But it isn't. It actually works out real well. They come together pretty easily. So
I think it looks intimidating because I think every sprue has every version.
Yeah, there's a lot of
put
a lot
on,
of
so it's a lot of extra pieces.
Yeah, for sure. Like I have a few different versions. Like the starter set came with two versions of the Jebedo. I don't even know how to pronounce these things. And the big guy here, there's two of those. The tank was separate. It didn't come in the starter set. We bought that separate. And then there's four of the Chevalier and the Chasier or something like that. Those two. So there's quite a bit of selection in the box. I'm going to build. I haven't started even trying to build a list, so I'm just going to do some random ones, build a bunch of regular ones and some specialists.
Yeah, I'm kind of working on my list and building it at the same time.
Yeah. I probably should have done that. That would have been the smart thing to do, but I didn't. But it's kind of fun, those guys. But that's what I've been doing. I've done a lot of building, no painting, because, you know, painting's hard. I have so much Battletech to paint. I have to paint something soon, but I will eventually. Let's throw it over to Brian. What have you been up to since we last spoke?
Well, mostly recovering from Adepticon and everything. But speaking of painting, like that's actually kind of what I'm trying to gear up for is I want to get back into the groove. I'm thinking of doing rather than like necessarily like factions or stuff. Like I have a couple of Patreons and stuff that I have that are like anime characters and whatnot. And I have a couple of those printed and I'm like, I should do that kind of thing where, you know, I get a model and I take some time on it and really kind of make it a nice character. Just to get that practice, get the painting gears flowing again. I've got like one that I wanted to do for the longest time was there's a mini from Dreadball that's basically a gal that's in like this little power mech suit you know not full aliens kind of thing. It's just kind of a squat little suit. And I've been wanting to paint that up for my Rebs faction in Dead Zone for the longest time as an engineer.
I was going to say, what was your user as? Yeah.
Yeah. And and actually in last, I guess would have been in March, I did the writing contest for the Mantic fanfic group again, and one of the characters.
What is the name of that fanfic group? If someone wants to join and read your fanfics,
Ronnie the Bard of Mantica Facebook group.
Nice and easy to find.
Yep, makes it easy to find. It's been really fun to keep doing that, and it's always a great batch of stories come in every quarter, and so. But in my last one, like one of the characters used this this little mech suit, and so I'm like, I need to finally get that to the table, and I'm kind of planning a whole refresh of my Rebs. Because they were actually the first Dead Zone faction that I painted.
No, I would never have guessed.
Yeah, like many years ago now with some Meyer brand paints. So I'm like, you know what? I've got the models to replace almost everybody. So it's like it's probably time for me to go back through that, do a nice clean paint job on them, so it doesn't look so crappy.
Are you doing it on those models? You're gonna strip them, or are you gonna get brand new ones?
No, I've got a extras. Lot of Reb models.
Well, hopefully they do replace them with like hard plastic Rebs. We've had the old crappy Rebs for too long.
Yeah, there's been kind of that constant rumor that I think end of last year they had said, you know, 2023, you know, it's in the works, but
lies.
As of yet, they have not surfaced. Hopefully that comes about. We'd love to see new Reb kits, and like people are constantly asking for them in the Facebook groups.
That's like, just hey, you this, with all your different neat, accounts.
This neat faction, yeah. Really curious to play it, like, but I can't find the models for them anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's like that's definitely a sign of like they need that refresh, and they need it soon. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's so my hobby time really is just kind of been gearing up to get back into painting some stuff. I did, you know, at the beginning of the year it was nothing but scenery.
Terrain,
so
yeah.
It's like,
yeah, you're like, I'm never going to paint another piece of terrain.
Yeah, I've got a lot of it now. So it'll be good to get back into painting some minis.
Nice.
But how about you, Pat? What have you got?
Oh, let's see. I got the desk organized, the painting redone, so it looks good.
You can find the miniatures on the desk now?
I did. I started, well, I got all, what I did is I cleared off about 20 of the 30 projects that were on my desk that were going on at the same time. So I put them in a drawer. I organized all my Neo Zhang sprues, and I started working on them. Started priming again.
Did you ever find the sprue that you were missing?
I did. It was right in front of my face.
Oh, that's the way it works.
It was the first sprue I found, so I put it to the side. And then when I found the other sprues, I'd forgotten I already found that sprue and forgot where I put it.
Yeah. Alcohol will do that to you.
So I cut all the pieces. I primed them. I'm getting ready to spray the undercoats and then do the highlight coats soon for the next couple panels on the instruction booklet. What else have I done? Oh, I put the Scorpion back together of the John Bear Ross.
Yeah, I think we discussed STL. That where he got crushed last time.
Yeah. So he's back together now and ready to finish up the paint job. He's on the desk now. And then like Rob said, with the Heavy Gear Blitz, I've been working on with my Peace River Red. I forget what it's called.
Peace River.
I just know they're red, and I don't know if I want to paint them red. I don't know if I have them red.
I have been reading the official Heavy Gear book, and they say pretty much in the area about painting, they said do what you want. Like, they're just all suggestions. They all paint all different colors, and you know.
I've been reading the rules. I haven't gone that far.
I read the whole book.
Did you really?
Yep. Wow. I didn't read the in-depth of all the other factions. Most of this is factions. Like, I'd say about 90%... but that much of this book is factions. The rest is
And so there's a lot of that book you can skip.
Yeah, I read the like highlights, but I don't read all the different traits and everything for every single model.
So I've been working on my Peace River heavy gear, but unlike Rob, I haven't just not been hodgepodging models together. I've been reading the rules.
Well, I built them like the actual rules. I just don't know what will fit in a list. Like, it's
well, that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at a list.
Going the other way
as I'm building it, and I go like, "All right, I definitely want this one."
I think there's a lot of choice in that that box set because the lists are
and,
like,
and that's the thing.
Yeah,
what happens is I'll read the rules and then I'll get to the weapons and then I'll read up on the weapons of that one particular mech.
Yeah, but it's about, I don't know what if there's rules about who you can have in a. Like upgrades and stuff, how many upgrades and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, actual list building, I read it, but it's not so specific as like Dead Zone where you need certain amount of specialists for certain amount of troops for specialists.
It's pretty open.
Yeah. It's just about points. It's about,
It's not points as far as I was able to concern. So, that's what I've been doing, kind of figuring out the kind of way I want to play these guys because there's a lot of electronic warfare in heavy gear.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like in Cav. So I have to kind of figure out what I want to do as far as who's going to be more EW warfare as opposed to get in your face, punch you with my gun kind of mech.
Punch you with a gun? Right. That's not good.
Well,
you might bend the barrel.
He's going to John Wick him. He's going to put the barrel in the robot's throat and then triple tap him in the chest. In the chest.
Most of my guys have knives, so I don't know if your guys come with a lot of knives. So there is a lot of hand-to-hand.
Yeah. So I've been working on that.
And shoot him with a knife.
Yeah. It's even slower going with those guys because I'm trying to read the rules and make a list at the same time.
I think there is a list-building site. I'll have to check into that. So maybe we'll look into that and see if there's a, you know.
What else did I do? In a roundabout way, I've been working on my Empire Dust chips, I guess.
Doesn't count. Those aren't mechs. I've been working on my Twi'lekin ships. That doesn't count.
All right. But as far as mechs go, it's been the Neo Zhang, the Scorpion, and Heavy Gear.
That's quite a bit for you.
Yeah.
You must not be watching anything.
No.
It's his way.
It is. But that's it for me in the dropship. That's all I've been working on, really.
Well, once again, thank you. What?
I'm making a conscious effort to get this Neo Zhang done.
Yeah. You said this year. You said it.
Well, I got it cleaned up. I got everything. The desk looks good. It really does. I mean, you saw it, didn't you?
I saw it on video.
You saw it at its worst.
Yes.
But you saw it at its worst.
Yeah, when you're like, go get me this. And I tried to find it on your desk, and I literally couldn't find a thing on your desk. So it's like, no. Yeah. But I did see the video. When we were doing some hobby hangout, and it did look a lot cleaner on your desk, I must say.
Yeah. So, I think the problem is if I get too many projects going on my desk, then everything just gets cluttered and I forget what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then everything just falls to the wayside. So,
I definitely put things away that I forget where I put them. Like I know I have a whole fleet for Babylon 5 somewhere. No idea where I put it. So.
Oh yeah. As I was cleaning off my desk, I'm like, me and Rob haven't talked about Babylon 5 in a while. Okay, yeah, I'll just put that away.
I forgot about it. you had a lot in your desk anyways. So that's enough for dropship this time. Thanks again for John Bear Ross's Patreon for sponsoring us. Please check him out. It's reasonably priced for what you get, that's for sure. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's a very good designer. His robots look pretty awesome.
Yeah. And creative. Like he does nice mix, what do you call it? Mashups. That's what I was trying to think.
Yes.
Because the next one is going to be it's like a 40K knight thing. I don't know if it's 40K or what faction, but it's got Zaku parts. It's got like a Zaku head and shield and stuff. Looks cool.
I'm very interested in that one.
Yeah. And we'll be heading out into Comstar next. So we'll be back.
Message from Comstar.
Welcome to Comstar again. We did record and it didn't record, so we'll quickly go through it again for us and for you. But we'll start off with the news, and that starts with the fact that Redline is coming back with a expansion. Redline Payday. We think it's going to be with Mercs.
Or clown covered.
No, I think it sounds like it's going to be like trucks.
Trucks.
Payday truckers.
When I hear Payday, when I hear Payday, I think like BJ and the Bear or Smokey and the Bandit.
Best thing about this is you'll never know. So we had different jokes the first
time.
But yeah.
And well, they're deciding right now which one's going to be based on what we're saying in the podcast.
Yeah. We will have Cameron on to talk about this.
The new expansion.
It's either next month or maybe a 0.5 episode next month.
Yeah.
Because he's busy getting it ready. So we'll talk to him.
Love having Cameron on too. So.
Yep. We'll have him on to talk about Redline. We love it. What news coming out?
The new trucker expansion.
Thing is, I think there is trucks because he was showing off a some kind of voting to see which kind of trucks are in a picture. So there is truckers involved.
Oh, really?
it's not completely wrong. Yeah.
Yay. Call sign Payday. Or what do they call them?
Call sign Payday.
No, not call. So what do they call them on those ham radios?
Oh,
by handle.
Handle. Handle Payday.
Handle.
Rubber ducky.
The other big news, obviously, is the BattleTech Mercenaries Kickstarter ended. It's a little thing. It only made $7.5 million. It's only the top 20 highest funded Kickstarters ever, not just games, any Kickstarter, and 23,654 backers. So.
Dad, it couldn't even make the top 10.
Yeah, I wonder how close it was. But I wonder how many of those top 10 actually sent their stuff out. Because I know that's like true. One of the top ones was that it was like a
was your 3D printer?
Oh, my 3D printer. It wasn't that high, but there was a it was like a cooler with a radio built in or something like that, and it just stole a bunch of people's money. So yeah, this guy's aren't because we love
BattleTech.
Yeah, Catalyst. They did one previous to that, which was about less than half backers and about a seventh of the money. But this one kicked butt. It's because
everyone can't say hates much. The clans.
Well, this one's all about
everyone loves the mercs.
Yeah, mercs are very popular, and all the different merc companies, plus vehicles and VTOLs and stuff, are being introduced again via the plastics. So, a lot of fun stuff coming out of this one. It won't be shipping until like next spring, so you got a whole year. I'm sure late backers can jump in, and I'm sure we'll get up to the last goal, which was 8 million in the backer kit. So we'll get the last goal. The best part was it was all the mechs and information from the cartoon. So it was all the Somerset Strikers from the BattleTech cartoons. Nice. All the redesigned mechs for all those guys, which I thought would be funny. So there's that.
You get the stretch goal any pledge, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I didn't go all in like you did.
You do get, it matters what you, there's all different stretch goals for each level. So it matters what you.
Some only apply to.
Yeah. Some, yeah.
Oh, I didn't look at that. I should have paid attention to that
one. Well, you can always raise it. Once again, if you have the cash,
raise it when
the pledge manager comes. So, and you'll get them then. So. The other big Kickstarter that's on now, has about 15 days left, is Heavy Gear 4th Edition role-playing game. We talked about Heavy Gear before. DreamPod 9, this is the 4th edition. And I guess it's not changing too much, just getting new art. That's what these Kickstarters really for, is to get all this art. It's all written already. Gotcha. It's all in Canadian, because they're a Canadian company. But it's $60,000 that they've got with 421 backers. So they're already, gotten their...
60,000 geese.
Yeah. Yes. Canada geese. But just remember that it's a little expensive when you think about it, but it's because it's in Canadian. So if you're American, it's like, you know, a third that price. So
exactly.
So just remember that. But a lot of different levels. I'll probably be picking it up at. I'll be picking it up at Adepticon, I'm sure, when we see him again. So I'm not going to bother backing it. But if you're interested, back her up. Back that Kickstarter up. Heavy Gear is fun. It's a lot of influence of, like, reading through the book, there's a lot of influence from Votoms, a lot of Votoms, but also other things like all different anime franchises that you gets right into it. So it's got influences, but it wears it on their sleeve and creates a whole new world just with that kind of background kind of feel. So it's really interesting.
With Big Max shooting everything.
We get to Brian's rendition.
Yep.
The other thing that I've been doing personally is I've been watching Bubblegum Crisis. Bubblegum Crisis, the original OEV, I guess it is, and then the it's second
Bubblegum
one.
Crash.
Yeah, Crash is the second one. So it's all about these girls, these Night Sabers who are in powered armor, who are kind of vigilantes fighting these boomers, which are cybernetic or robot. They're kind of like robots. They're kind of like Terminators.
People born from the World War II.
Yes, they're not boomers in that way. But they're, this was before that term was invented. But
yeah.
They help the police fight these guys, even if the police don't want their help. But all fun characters. Good music because Pris is in a band, so she a lot of music in the series. All the characters are fun. All the four Night Sabers. The one girl works for the cops and she's hilarious. The other girl is kind of a ditzy a bit, but she's pretty funny too. And then the leader is serious. She's the one who made all the Night Sabers and may have a mysterious past. But fun story from the
night. My past is so serious.
It's from the 80s. It's amazing the quality these 80s Japanese shows have. One of the characters is obviously gay, and they don't make fun of it. They don't do anything. When he first introduced, he's like hitting on his partner a bit. Like he's just like, "Hey, we should go for drinks." And you're like, "Wait a second." But they don't mention it after that. They don't say anything. Like they just like he's obviously gay.
It's just commonplace. Yeah. Year's 20, 35 or whatever.
Well, it's probably 2020, knowing how animes work. But even so, yeah, I was just like, "Wow, this is pretty progressive for they're not." Yeah. You know, some animes, there's some caricatures going on. This one was, I was pretty amazed. And it looks cheesecake. It looks kind of like you think, oh, it's going to be fluff, but it isn't. It's funny, but it's also serious, very serious in parts, and has a lot of commentary on corporations, really. It's against corporations, that's for sure.
It's very cyberpunk.
Yeah, it is very cyberpunk, yes. But real fun. Post-humanism a bit going on there. But I love it.
And if you like Streets of Fire... You would like Bubblegum Crisis.
There you go. Streets of Fire. We get that reference every once in a while. We get a Streets of Fire reference.
Every once in a while.
How about you, Pat? What have you been working on? Or, I mean, reading?
Not too much, but I actually have been doing a little bit of reading. Just because I have it now. And it's the Blood of Kerensky trilogy.
Yes, you picked it up signed from Adeptcon.
Yes, Michael Stackpole. I got suckered in by our good friend Crazy A.
He tricked you. Buying them.
Trick me. So because I have them in their nice hardbacks, I've just been kind of reading a chapter here or there occasionally and enjoying it. You know, I'm not too into the clans, but I do like the introduction into the clans.
Yeah, it's a neat story. It's very odd that what the clan, you know, you get introduced into incest pretty quick and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's true.
You're like,
I came for the giant mechs. What the heck?
Yeah, what?
Clan society is an odd one. They're all clones, technically, so they're not really. Is it incest if you're having sex with their clones?
Probably more so if they're all clones.
Well, they're not clones of each other. They're clones of. They choose all different genetic mixture and put them together, and then they have a batch, kind of. And the batch lives together and trains together as children. Murders each other pretty much to get to where they have to be the best of the best.
Like
but because along the way, they're sleeping together too. So,
yeah, because you gotta kill to get advanced in a sense.
Pretty much, or at least beat
and
people.
You guys never let me live down that one anime I talked about.
It's true. I think if there was ever a clan's movie or anime, they would live down the fact that there's incest. Yes, I think they would definitely tone that down. But great series.
But that's all I've been really doing too much with Comstar.
Well, Game of Thrones is like one of the best rated shows, and there's lots of incest in that too. So maybe that's the key. Maybe they'd add more incest.
Oh,
who knew that was the key to successful dramas?
To sell. Incest sells books.
Who knew?
Please don't.
A lot of great fiction, and that's one of them. like we were discussing last time we recorded this, that Decision at Thunder Rift with the Grey Death Legion is the beginning, and that's probably a good place to start. But Warrior Trilogy is great too, where it's Justin Allard. It's all about
a lot of currency, because that gets you introduced to the clans.
Clan starts there, yeah. I'm amazed at how fast the clans are introduced. It's like, you think that there's a long time of fiction between, or even time between when Battletech started and the clans start, but it isn't really. It's only like four books, and then, like, well, I think it's like six books, but then Blood and Ruinsky's right away. Like, I was amazed how fast it was. I thought there was a long period. There's a long history, but not actual fiction before that, so it's interesting. But, yeah. Anything else you're doing, Pat?
No, that's it.
We'll move on to Brian then. Guess what? This is where we failed to record last time, so this will be all new to us.
Yes, this is all brand new. If you didn't hear before, so I've been kind of picking up my playthrough of Xenogears in a big way. I'm pushing through. So I hit the second disc, and if you've played Xenogears, and you know what happens from that point is. From what I was reading online, I think their budget ran out, and so what you know is leading up to this is kind of a standard kind of JRPG. Our characters run around on a big map, you know, have little random battles and stuff like that, and events take place, and then the second disc happens, and they have a lot more story to tell, even though like at the end of that. First disc, it really feels like we're leading up to the finale.
Yeah, that's a classic JRPG thing, though.
Yeah. So the second disc starts, and they like the running around kind of stops, and we're kind of treated to these like little vignettes of like the characters telling us like what events are transpiring, and it's like, and then you know this. You know, thing happened and all these people were affected, and then this guy, he showed up and attacked us, and then they'll have like a little cutscene is like, aha, I'm attacking, and then they're like, and you know, it wasn't until he showed up that they fought, and then you'll just have the fight. like it's a complete like whiplash on gameplay. Like I said, I think they had a lot of story that they wanted to tell and to cram in. And they're just like, we don't have the budget to make any of these resources, so we're just gonna tell you what happens.
That's funny so that they just
That's been going on for like I think five chapters as the guide I'm playing with, you know, it's kind of walking me through. I've got like five left, so it's like right at the end of the game. But it like some things have fallen into place and kind of got a little groove, and then. Some of that pacing really got thrown off. Nah. It's so hard to follow all these character names because it's a bunch of different languages. Like there's some German, there's some like Spanish ones and whatnot. So it's just hard. But I'm gonna get through it. That's my goal. I'm gonna finish this game and then I'll move on to something else. and then I've also the second season of Gundam Witch of Mercury. Picked up again.
Yeah, I haven't started that yet. I got to start the first season.
It's off to a nice strong start. we pick up a couple months after the end of the first season, but you know, which I won't spoil too much. But there was the kids that we're following. You know, these kids are all in school. You know, were involved in like a terrorist attack. And so there's a lot of that trauma and you know, trying to pick themselves back up, go back to a regular day, that's involved. And then a bunch of the antagonist characters are kind of front and center way faster than you'd expect them to be. So it's off to a fast start, but it's exciting and some big bombshells are already being dropped, and we're, you know, the third episode aired today.
Nice.
So. Yeah, it's a really good show, and even Bandai was saying like they've seen a huge influx of new viewers, like new people interested in Gundam because of the popularity of the show. So that's cool. That's always great to hear.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's hopefully it's female viewers and want to start Gunpla, because this is the first one that had a female protagonist, which is amazing to hear. But
yes,
yeah, and you know, since 1979. Yeah.
I'm amazed. I was like, for sure. I just think back. Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's funny.
Oh yeah.
But in Japan, it's definitely male dominated, like, and like this kind of anime for sure is.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you look at some of their other shows, like a lot of the like Godzilla movies, and they'll be like female character leads in like the military roles and stuff like that. So it's interesting that it has taken Gundam this long.
Yeah, I think it's
strong female characters.
Oh yeah,
but, wow, kind of finally a lead.
There's tons of well, look at even as far back as Sailor Moon or something like that, where it's like, you know, tons of strong female characters. It's just for some reason, the mecha. In general, like, I can't think of any mecha ones, like, of the mainstream that are have male character as the main character. Not many.
No, there's hardly any.
Yeah, female characters.
And they're all kind of submissive. I'm trying to think, Robotech. What's her face is not. And
Lisa, yeah. Too. Lisa and Robotech.
And the other girl that married Max. She probably
Mira. Yeah, that's true. But they're never main characters. But
yeah.
Oh, I guess what's her called? In Southern Cross... that she's Dana, whatever she is in Southern Cross. She's a main character.
Yeah. Dana Sterling in Robotech.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
There are a handful of shows out there that kind of do it, but a lot of times they are kind of one-offs, like Burst Angel is another one where, I mean, technically the main character was some weird boy that was their cook, but like the the actual
hero. Cast, yeah. Well, I just actually mentioned Bubblegum Crisis. They're all girls, so I guess there goes out the window. So.
This has been a huge boost for Gundam. It's like something new and fresh that they've done probably since Iron Blooded Orphans or Build Fighters. Like, this is a big kind of fresh step for them.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to see.
Yeah, because the last one was that one that was kind of like continuation of another series, and there wasn't been anything new.
A lot of the Universal Century stuff, you really kind of have to. Yeah. There's a lot of history there, like we said. 1979 is a long time ago.
Yeah, for sure. So. Anything else, Brian?
No, that really kind of covers it. And
okay. Well, now that we successfully recorded the Comstar, we're going to go on to our Mechbay Hangar, where we have some interesting conversation about robots that may or may not be made of different parts. Chuka chuka.
Now entering the Mechbay Hangar.
Welcome to the Mechbay Hangar. This time we're going to talk about our top three favorite combining robots, or robots made up of different parts of different robots, I guess you could say.
Robots made of robots.
It's robots all the way up. We'll start with Brian this time. Brian, what's your first robot made of robots?
Sure. Well, I thought I would start off strong with a classic one here. Gunbuster is... A giant robot made of two kind of spaceship bots. Really, it's just kind of two spaceships that join together to make a robot.
Yes, that counts.
It's from the OAV series Gunbuster from Gainax, one of their first anime series, and it's a series that hasn't aged great. But it has some really fun, like epic moments in giant mecha history, and one of them is when kind of our two leading ladies, as we were just discussing, actually, Gunbuster has two main leads that are women, and when they kind of join together to fight off this intergalactic alien horde, and by joining the Gunbuster ships together. And, it goes from a weird, like, real mecha series to a super robot really quick. but it's, like I said, it's a fun, like, the mech moments in it are really good. Some of the character moments, not so much. But it does play a lot with some fun scientific elements as well, which with time dilation and inner you know, light speed travel, where our characters start off, you know, they're very young, and you know, they go off into space and then they come back to Earth at some points, and like their friends are old, mm-hmm. and you know, have kids already and everything.
That's interesting.
You
know, have families. I remember when we were in high school together.
Pretty much. And you know, they're blowing up, you know, consuming the resources of planets to blow up aliens.
Yes.
With gravity bombs. It's great.
Gravity bombs.
So yeah, Gunbuster, a very small example of the combining robot nice. Genre.
Okay, Pat, what's your first one?
My first one, or third one, I will say. Sure. I'm going to go mine from least to best.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
Is a made up one. I don't know where this came from. I don't know where
it's been.
Who created it? I have no information on this thing, other than I posted it on our Mobile Arm Radio site. And it's the Gundam that's combined with Star Destroyers and Super Star Destroyers.
Yeah, it's crazy detailed.
A fun kit bash. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really neat. The Gundam's shield is, if you're listening to audio, if you're on video, which you should be on YouTube, you can see the pictures. But on audio, the Gundam's shield is a Super Star Destroyer.
Star Destroyer,
at a certain scale. And then the other guy's shoulder pads are Star Destroyers.
Some of his leg pads, too.
Yeah, there's a lot in here, for sure. all the gribbly bits is looks like Star Wars stuff. But yeah, pretty crazy. Somebody's really creative. Cool.
I thought that was really cool. So, and I was actually looking up, trying to look in closer too, to see like if there were some AT&T parts in there too. AT&T parts.
AT&T.
But you know,
yeah,
keeping them caught online and connected.
Yes, it's a crazy kit bash, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
If anybody knows who did this, please, we'll give them credit. We don't know.
Yes, so. I would love to think that this was a combiner robot.
That it was Star Destroyers combined with giant Gundams to... Yes. There you go.
I'm thinking of Mega Maid from
Spaceballs. Yeah. Mine is very similar to this because what it is the SDF-1 from Robotech or Macross. Yep. It's a Mega Maid. For sure it looks like a Mega Maid, which is hilarious now you say that. But... obviously, it's the STF-1 is combined with the Daedalus and the Prometheus ships as arms. The aircraft carriers. I guess they're aircraft carriers, I guess.
Yeah,
both aircraft carriers.
They got when the ship got sent into space, they got brought with it, and for some reason, they combined arms. They made arms into them. So,
honestly, kind of one of my favorite parts of that design is the aircraft character slapped onto its arms.
Yep, and they shoot the all the ships fly out the front of the arms. That's kind of cool. It is, when it transforms into robot mode, you really see it. Like, it's part of the ship mode. They're kind of just there. But when it transforms, you really see the effect of these giant ships as arms. So, SDF-1, I think it's a classic. Not your conventional combiner, I would say. But it is a combiner in some strange way. So, Brian, what's your number two?
My number two, I didn't really have a specific order to these, but... I would throw out the Gundam Build Fighters. So, like, one fun thing about this show, if you're unfamiliar with it, like, the whole concept is people are building their Gunpla to do battle with one another. But a big part of that is they are all customizing their Gundam kits and combining them into really unique designs. Like, I remember, like, the first series... like one of the characters had like the Wing Zero, but it also had like the Rose Gundam's like shoulder thing and like just really creative, but it's all stuff like you could technically build.
Yeah. Especially with the kits. Parts. Yeah. The kits you can actually do this stuff with, which is, I've never done it, but a lot of people do kit bash where they just take parts of all different kits and put them together.
Yeah.
And,
it's a whole thing. It is that funny thing where like now you can get the the build fighter kits, which have, you know, the preset pieces, but in the grand scheme, I guess that would be cheaper than getting a whole bunch of separate kits.
Yeah. You just buy the bits instead of buying whole kits and switching parts out. Yeah.
But just a fun, it's a really fantastic and fun series. And I do think it really brought a new life to the Gundam franchise when it first aired, and has continued kind of its own timeline and
they even have that app game that's just like this where you combine them and fight them.
I played around with that, but that was so battery intensive.
It was really intensive for your device, but it was
Gundam Breaker, I think, was also kind of based off that
series. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that they realize they can use all these bits they have already made to make more toys. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. But yeah, Build Fighters.
Pat, what's your next one?
My next one will be something from my past that I seem to remember, and remembering as one of the first combiner robots that I watched. And that would be Gao Gaigar.
Gao Gaigar.
King of the Braves, Gai Gao Gar.
Yes. We're like, is he a combiner? And then we realized, oh, wait, he's got trains as shoulder pads. So he must be a combiner.
So, I mean, the basic plot of that is this is kind of a Superman plot where Mysterious Mechanical Line, which is the main robot of Gao Gaigar. God, it's hard to say.
Gao Gaigar. This is like a cat, right?
Yeah.
A gal.
It's
that's right.
And then inside the line was a mysterious baby. They took the baby and raised it in blah, 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 right?
Like you
and do. Then, yeah, and then a couple years later down the road, the Earth is invaded by the Zonders. And the Defense Brigade Gusty Geodgard, or the GGG, was organized to fight these guys. And I can't even remember his name now. But the kid is now part of that defense group and has a green stone, which activates the lion robot.
Is that the one that's in his forehead? The green stone in his forehead? Yeah.
Yeah. And then so the GG builds three support vehicles. One of them is a train that he can combine with to help fight the Zonders.
Yeah, one's a stealth bomber and one looks like a drill tank thing.
Yeah. So.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's him in rough shell. He's also sitting behind me.
Hello. There he is. Yes.
Hi.
Yeah, it's interesting. I never even knew about this, but it's the lion chest and stuff reminds me of a lot of other things that came after, like Leo Convoyer and things like that. I think it's was used for a lot of things. What was it? There's a Transformer too with the lion chest. One of the combiners has just like this too. So obviously they all cribbed from
this guy.
I think
it might have been a Power Ranger that might look like that.
Like a Megazord.
Yeah, they're them too. So I think they all kind of, this was the originator of the lion chest on a giant robot. So there you go. Gao Gaigar. However you may say it.
It's hard to say, but it's a good show. You should check it out. It's a good one. It ran for a year, I think. It's only got 42 episodes.
Only 42.
42.
I think, if I remember right, 42 episodes and maybe half were dubbed.
Dubbed into English for the...
Yeah, dubbed into English.
Probably because the rest of them were inappropriate for children.
Yeah. It's hard to say.
My number two is, I think it's going to be higher up on Pat's list, but mine is Devastator.
Mm, yay, Devastator!
This is the picture I'm showing is actually the toy I have, which is the...
Ooh, number two.
It's the actual combined toy. It's the new version, which is I liked a lot better. It actually holds together. I have parts of the original one. The original one, I remember having it as a kid, that thing did not hold together at all. It fell apart so easily.
Yeah, I had.
You're talking about the G1?
Yeah, G1 Devastator. Yeah. Oh my God, that toy was not the best. But this new version is, I think it's from Combiner Wars. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that toy was not meant to come out of the box.
Yeah, it was meant to be a cool idea to combine them, but it didn't work, yeah. But Devastator, I'm sure we'll talk about him more in a bit. Brian, what's your number one? We're up to number ones.
So my number one, I'm going to throw out an honorable mention of Gridman, which is, Gridman SSSS. I think there's five S's. it's a
Gridman is
Super Sentai.
Super Sentai type series. In the original version, it was dude in the suit. full of tokusatsu. And like the whole premise was they would go into like computers and then like they would upgrade armor, would get like slapped onto this thing. And I had, they had some really cool toys back in the day. A neighbor of mine had one and it was like literally this tall and it was
that's cool.
Like, all these pieces kind of combined on it. So definitely honorable mention to that. It's a really fun show. Go check it out. But my number one combiner robot series has to be Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann.
I think we knew Gurren this was coming. You talked about Gurren Lagann enough that we knew this was going to be your number one.
Yeah, like the whole premise of
I always forget that he's a because he's so ginormous that I forget that he's a combiner.
Yeah, yeah, and that's that even takes place like in that final episode when he goes from being light years in size back down to you know, just a little stompy robot. You know, you get to see that evolution and de-evolution throughout the series. It's great where, you know, the main character's ability basically lets him assimilate other mechs that his little stompy bot
he's the Borg
combines with. And it's you know, some elements of the show definitely haven't aged great. I think it came out in 2007, so it's weird to think about how old it is now. But one thing it brought the energy, like it is a really bombastic and fun super robot series from Studio Gainax, and that is kind of like one of the last great ones before that studio kind of, you know,
yeah,
there was the rift and Anno went one way and all the staff went to Trigger.
Yeah,
so but yeah, Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann.
And Pat, your number one, can we guess?
Everyone can guess.
Yes.
It's Devastator.
Devastator. Yeah. He's a classic, but
he's the classic. I mean, when you think combiner robots, even though he's not the first, he's probably the one that comes to everyone's mind first.
Yeah.
Because he's the one, you know, he's five. I don't think there's ever been prior to that.
Is he five or six? I think he's six, isn't he?
Oh, maybe he is six.
I think so.
I think he's six. You know,
with the exception of
yeah, he's six, yeah.
With the exception of Voltron.
Two parts.
Yeah, with the exception of Voltron, there's most of them have just been three or four.
Yeah, yeah. Well, where'd you get to mine?
Yeah, well, that's why I said with the exception of Voltron. Because your number one is normally one of the ones I would choose. But
yeah, we definitely...
We're definitely trying to avoid stepping on each other's toes. But yeah.
Well, we knew that. That Voltron better than the Lion Voltron, so...
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to it. Stop stealing my thunder.
Let's just go then, because there's not much to say about Devastator. That he's a classic. You know, these guys were the bomb. They did that opposite the storyline in the comic books where they were like downtrodden union workers and then joined up with Megatron.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
because they weren't fair wages, and the irony with Devastator is that they're all like dump trucks and tractors and
they built a lot of the cities and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Constructicons. My number one, obviously, as Pat alluded to, is Voltron, but the vehicle Voltron, because he's the coolest. He's like what, 36 parts, I think?
He's 15 vehicles in the comic book.
Is it 15? Wow. Yeah. He's a lot anyways.
It's air, sea.
Oh yeah, five of each. Yeah. Five of each. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's awesome. It's from the Der Ruger 15 is the original anime that they stole Voltron from.
I guess that if you don't know lore of Voltron, there's the inner, middle, and outer Voltrons. The inner was closest to all the populated planets, and that was the three robot Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
The lions were in the middle, and then the vehicles were supposed to be exploring out.
Yeah, they're way out.
That's why they were exploration vehicles.
Yeah.
Ah. So it is technically all one.
Well, yes. It's like Robotech, where it was taken from three different series and they combined them together, but that is the storyline behind it.
Yes, I understand now.
But yeah, this they were out. The good thing about this Voltron also is they're always in space. They're always just doing crazy space adventures. And it would always start out that each of the different guys would have like all the different factions, like the space or the air, land, and sea would do their own thing. And they always have to combine together to do the Voltron thing, as all Voltrons have to do. But
Unlike the lion one, it takes them three times as long because there's so many to go.
And there's also they can each of them can combine into their own bigger version of them. Like it's so there's like levels to their combining. So
yes,
but it was a classic. I loved it. I think I'm gonna revisit the Daruga because I've been going back to the original sources for everything. So like I watched what was it the I don't know Votoms and all that stuff. For the BattleTech stuff, so I'm gonna go back to check out the original ones for these too to see how different it is because they're always better because when they brought them over those early ones when they brought them over they had to really edit the hell out of them for the American
yes,
audience
because
like look at the difference between Macross and Robotech there's a lot edited out
which but, I think is stupid because I think maybe
wow there was nudity that was the main part that they edited out.
Yeah I mean but I think some of the things that
also
you just took the nudity out.
Yeah, there was deaths and things.
We've been okay with it. I think we've been okay. I mean, well, there was deaths in the Westerns.
Yeah, there was. And there was deaths in Robotech even, but it was a lot more blatant, I guess.
So much of that was more like, at least in Robotech's case, I remember, was to get syndication.
Yeah.
And Macross didn't have enough episodes.
Yeah, that too, yeah, to get the Nef.
So that's where they, like, all right, well, we're going to grab them from these.
Yeah, I'm sure Voltron was the same way. To do a weekly, because it was a daily, Voltron was daily, right? So they probably needed a lot more episodes to be able to do a daily series. Where in Japan, it's weekly. So,
and to throw it out there, like the new Voltron series was on Netflix is also very good. Like,
I wish they did a vehicle, new vehicle version. That'd be amazing. But everybody knows the lions. Come on.
Yeah, I wish they would because I would like to see the three robot one.
Yeah, because they never did make it. Yeah.
They did, I think, but it was rarely talked about.
It never got to the United States, I don't think. They planned it, and then it got canceled before it got to the United States. There was the Japanese version, obviously. I did have a honorable mention, which is Magus XLR, because it was a robot with a car as a head. That was my honorable mention. But
One more honorable mention, just because we didn't talk about Power Rangers.
Yeah, I was just going to say Super Sentai. There's so many.
Yeah, I stayed away from them because there were so many of them.
And it was past my time. I never watched the Japanese versions, obviously. By the time Power Rangers came out, it was past my time.
I mean, Power Rangers, like they're actually releasing now on Netflix.
Yeah, the new version. Yeah,
I watched
a lot of the original cast.
I didn't watch the original, the remake. I watched the movie.
Oh yeah, they did a movie
with Ivan Ooze.
Yeah, I forget who was in it, but Cranston was. Was the original Red Ranger?
That's right. He was in it for sure. But it's crazy. It's been going so long, and even look into the history of Power Rangers and how it's tied in with the Japanese Spider-Man and Stan Lee trying to bring it originally and failing and it's amazing the story about all these a guy who did the music for a lot of things ended up bringing it over. So it's a pretty cool story.
It's a good honorable mention those guys, especially what's his face passed away this year.
No, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
and
the original Green Ranger.
Yes, and it is for a lot of people that is their giant robots because, it kind of missed us, but it definitely is.
Yeah, definitely came after my time. Definitely more my nephew's time than my time.
Yeah,
Jason David Frank was that passed.
I knew it was Jason. I didn't know the rest of it. So if anybody else knows any combining robots you want to talk about that we didn't talk about, there's tons of them. It's so funny because we were like racking our brains, but then you think about it, it's like, oh yeah, that's technically a combining robot. Combines things together.
Yeah, if there's one that you love and we didn't talk about
we didn't talk about half the ones in Transformers. There's so many.
Sure, yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, post pics in the Facebook or the links in the YouTube.
And we'll discuss.
Yep. I guess that's it for the hangar. Let's go to Xville and get out of here.
Yep.
Let's Xville out of here.
Why does he love to clap so much? Welcome to the Xville.
It's professional.
So we don't usually use it. We're doing it now, though.
Okay, we always use it. I always use it because it's easy to edit. Xville, we're getting out of here. It's been another fun-filled episode with a little technical difficulty in the middle, which always annoys me, but we did it.
We got through it. We overcame. We combined our powers.
That's right. We are a combining robot.
Podcast robot.
Combined our powers by letting Rob handle it.
by cursing and gnashing of teeth. But do like, share, subscribe. Like I say, the podcast is going away, so it's just going to be the vidcast. So come watch us on see our pretty faces.
We are not going anywhere. Just the form of podcast.
We're changing. We're transforming into a
times are changing.
We're combining into a video cast.
Really, we're just saving money because we don't have to pay for podcasts anymore. Yeah. So,
That's fair.
Come to YouTube. It's where everybody lives now. Everybody's doing it. Might as well come with us. And comment. Like, we love the comments on the shows and share it up. Pat does his sharing to all the robot sites, I should say, on Facebook. So if you see a lot of spamming, it's Pat. So just remember that.
It's not spamming. It's sharing the love.
Yeah, that's right. Like them there. And if somebody says it's spam, just say, no, it's not. It's sharing the love.
No, it's not. It's sharing the love.
I'm also Filipino, and I love spam.
Oh, there you go. Spam and pineapple.
And rice.
There you go. That's his recipe for the month. Until June. It's going to be nice and warm finally, guys. Until June. Hopefully. I've been Rob.
I've been Brian.
And I've been Chopper.
Come with us on this Robotech journey. I keep saying Robotech because he's right behind me. He's right there.
Come with us on this Guy Gaugar.
Using your Robotech technology.
Gaugar.
And also go to Dead Zone the Podcast to listen to Brian talk about those robots behind him.
Yeah, those guys right there.
And visit John Bear Ross's Patreon.
Yes, thank you for our sponsor. And thank you for making great robots.
We're going to have a better sponsor thing for John.
Pat says this. We'll be just winging it every single time.
No. I'm going to be done. I just got to get some time.
But until then.
If you would like a better sponsor.
Commercial.
Or for a commercial for your sponsorship. Let us know in the comments below.
Comment below. Yes. And thank you for everybody for listening. And we'll be back. Bye-bye.
See you later.
See ya.
This has been Mobile Armor Radio. Join our Facebook group by searching for Mobile Armor Radio. Find us on Twitter at @MArmorRadio. Join us on the first of every month for more mecha discussion.